The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
The El Conservador Radio Show is sponsored by the Federation for American Immigration Reform and George Rodriguez on 930 AM, The Answer. Time for the El Conservador Radio Show with George Rodriguez. George is a constitutional conservative who loves to expose fake news and liberals. Be a part of the show. Call 210-308-8867. And now, El Conservador, George Rodriguez.
Howdy, howdy, howdy once again, my friends. George Rodriguez, El Conservador, talking to you from San Antonio, deep in the heart of South Texas. How is everybody on this beautiful March, Saturday, March 18, 2023? Welcome to the show, my friends. We've got a packed one for you today. Lots has been happening at the border. Lots has been happening near the border. We've got four great guests that you're going to want to hear from because they're on the front lines and they know what's happening. Let me tell you real quick who they are, and then we'll launch into our show. First up, we've got Mr. Ildefonso Ortiz, who is a Breitbart reporter. He's going to be talking to us, my friends, about what is happening on the other side of the border, the frightening shootouts, kidnappings, all of that stuff. He's going to bring us up to date. As I tell everybody all the time, when I was growing up, my parents used to take us to Nuevo Laredo a lot. I even had an aunt and an uncle that lived across the border, and we used to go over there to shop and eat. Well, my friends, I got news for you. I have cousins in Laredo, and myself, we would not go across the border if we had to. No way. It is dangerous. Ildefonso is going to be reporting about the recent kidnappings and shootings. Then we also have two sheriffs who are on the front lines who are going to be talking about the crime and the recent actions by the Texas State Legislature to address the issue of the invasion, since the federal government can't. Or won't, should I say. We've got Sheriff Brad Coe from Kenny County, Texas, very good friend, and another very dear friend, Sheriff Thad Cleveland. Thaddeus Cleveland from Terrell County, Texas. Both of these gentlemen have been very, very involved in telling folks in Austin about what needs to be done here on the border, and they're going to be explaining to us about this recent legislative action that has been taken to help us address the issue of the crisis, the border crisis, because the federal government is not doing it, my friends. If the federal government is not going to protect the citizens of the United States, more specifically the citizens of Texas, then the state of Texas has got to do it, and that's what that's all about. So the Sheriff Brad Coe and Sheriff Thad Cleveland are going to be chatting with us about this whole thing. Our final guest is Mark Morgan, a very good friend of mine, someone that I've gotten to know very, very well. He is now with FAIR. He is a senior fellow at FAIR, the Federation for American Immigration Reform, which is our sponsor, by the way. And he is the former ICE director, the former director for Immigration and Customs Enforcement. And he is going to be chatting with us about what the takeaways were, what the results are of the congressional hearing that was held this past week in South Texas. The Border Patrol chief, the chief of all of the Border Patrol agents, was one of the people that spoke at this congressional hearing. And what he said and what he didn't say are very, very telling, my friends. He would not support the He would not support the impeachment of Mayorkas, of the Homeland Secretary, but he admitted, my friends, he admitted that there is a failure in protecting the border. There is an absolute failure in protecting the border. He admitted it. This, my friends, is very, very disturbing and telling, that we have leaders in government who know that something is going wrong, these bureaucrats, these career bureaucrats, who know that something is going wrong, or that something is being done wrong, and they go along only because it's their job to go along. That's what their perception is. And this is very, very disturbing to me, my friends. So these are our guests, my friends. Please call your friends. It's going to be a great show. It's going to be a tremendous show. Please call your friends. Tell them to join us. Tell them to listen in. Let's go to our first guest. Howdy, howdy, howdy. Once again, my friends, George Rodriguez, El Conservador, talking to you from San Antonio, deep in the heart of South Texas. And we've got our good friend, Mr. Ildefonso Ortiz, who is a reporter with Breitbart on the border. He is down in the McAllen area, or that's where he's been. Who knows where he's at now? But Ildefonso, thank you very much for taking time to be with us. I want you to give us an update of the recent violence that's going on, the kidnappings, the shootings, the murders. I know that there had also been a shootout between cartel members down in the Brownsville Matamoros area. Can you tell us what's going on as far as the violence and the crime going on?
Well, certainly. So, sadly, because of the way Mexico has been treating drug cartels, they're out of control. So there's violence literally everywhere. Just last night, there was a shootout in the state of San Luis Potosí where 7 people were killed. It was between the military and the cartel gunmen. But one of the most alarming cases took place a couple of days ago in Matamoros, where a group of 4 individuals from South Carolina crossed in from Brownsville into Matamoros. They traveled from South Carolina to Brownsville. They crossed into Matamoros, and they were chased, shot at, kidnapped, and taken by the Gulf cartel with complete impunity. And then it wasn't until days later that, first, we heard about it, and two, anything was done about it. Now, 2 of them are back. Well, 2 of them survived, sadly, 2 of them died. They're all back in the U.S. now. But the interesting part of all this is that it shows you how much power, in this case, the Gulf cartel has over the city of Matamoros. I mean, like I said, they had enough time to chase a group of Americans, shoot at them, take them in various, have various vehicles show up, take them, and disappear without the military, without the police, without anybody stopping them. And sadly enough, they were able to keep this under wraps for several days. That's how much control they have over the local news media. That's how much control things are going. And this particular case became a media storm, because once the FBI confirmed that, hey, there are 4 Americans missing in Mexico, there was huge pressure put on Mexico's president. He actually sent out 300 soldiers to Matamoros. He sent out a special team of police officers, everything to try to rescue them. But here's the funny part. All the if you look at the case closely, they didn't find them. The Gulf cartel left the victims in a stash house with just 1 guard. And then the following day, yesterday, the Gulf cartel kind of did something that was kind of a PR stunt. They left 5 gunmen tied up alive next to a pickup truck, and then they put a banner saying, "We apologize. This is not how we do business. This was an error by these people. They did it on their own." So it was sort of a PR stunt on their part just to try to undo the pressure. But because all this attention is bad for business, and if it's bad for business for the Gulf cartel, it's bad for business for Mexico's government. Because we have to remember, at the end of the day, the drug cartels in Mexico, they don't get their power from their gunmen. They get their power from their attorneys that work for them, from dirty judges that protect them, and also from dirty politicians that profit from them, that they get election money from them, and they are the ones that you know that really give the drug cartels their power in Mexico. That is why this is such a tense case right now in politics in Mexico.
You know what's very, very interesting is in the reaction also from the president of Mexico, López Obrador, making the comment that, first of all, he resented that the United States was talking about or even thinking about doing a strike against the cartels in Mexico. He was very, very upset about that. But then he went even further the next day to say that he was going to interfere against Republicans who were advocating that in the elections in the United States. You know, he doesn't want the United States to meddle in his affairs, but he is certainly going to meddle in ours.
You're correct. And that is, you know, because we have to remember the approach of going hard against drug cartels goes against something that he's done from the very beginning. When he was elected and he took office, he basically said, the war on drugs is over. And if you look at the comment that he makes, where it hugs, not bullets, that's his approach to dealing with drug cartels. Basically, not to fight them with violence, but to promote social programs so that people will leave the life of crime and become good citizens. That's been his entire motto this whole time as a way to reduce violence. Obviously, it has not worked. It's only made matters worse. And, you know, there's also a lot of, you know, AMLO's opposition in Mexico, and they continue to raise the alarm that this man is may be complicit with drug cartels as well. Then they bring up the case of El Chapo's kid. You know, not this second arrest, but the first time he was arrested, AMLO ordered for him to be released after, you know, the military had caught him as a way to avoid violence. So when you put all these little things in context, it kind of does show a possible high level of corruption in Mexico with a president possibly supporting in some way these cartels. Now, going back to the Gulf cartel in Matamoros, one of the things that we have to remember is that there's already been two former governors from Tamaulipas that have had criminal indictments in the U.S., for working with the Gulf cartel and Los Zetas. Former Governor Tomas Yarrington, who's actually awaiting sentencing, and former Governor Eugenio Hernandez, who's in Mexico fighting his extradition. And as a matter of fact, AMLO's government is helping him fight the extradition. So this kind of just shows you, like, if these drug cartels have access all from the lowest level all the way to the governor and maybe even higher, it's a very scary scenario of what we're dealing. And one of the things that is really concerning is that if you talk to border mayors along the border, you know, the U.S. mayors, they continue to say, our sister city, our partners, et cetera, et cetera. But they've been extremely silent after four Americans crossed into a sister city and were kidnapped.
Yep.
And I mean, in some way, this is complicit. This is a
hypocrisy.
This is on them as well, yeah. Because they continue to push this narrative that our border cities are safe. It's all politics and everything, but it really isn't. And they love to say, look, our crime stats are great, but actually those crime stats are actually bogus. And I will tell you why. Most politicians along the border say, look, we use the FBI's UCR crime report. But what the FBI's UCR crime report looks at is, murder, theft, rape, arson, car theft, and one more, I forget. But they don't look at drug trafficking, human trafficking, kidnapping, extortion, money laundering, the crimes that really are relevant to a border area. And then also what they do in this, with the UCR report is that, for example, they only look at the crimes for this particular city. But if you have it in a case where, like, kind of like San Antonio, we have multiple municipalities around a metro area, well, they don't count those. They don't count the sheriff's statistics also, and they don't count the federal statistics. So they don't really give you the real picture of the crime in the area, but they love to say our cities are safe. And this is what keeps people traveling to the border and thinking they're going to be okay going into Mexico. It really isn't. You know, you're really playing Russian roulette at this time, especially with Mexican authorities not... if before it was dangerous, now, for example, in Tamaulipas, with the current governor, who, if you look at some of our reports, we have linked them to cartel money. And then if you look at the actions of the federal government, who are not doing much anyways, you really are playing Russian roulette when you cross into Mexico at this point.
You know, it's obvious that the cartels have become a government unto themselves if they are surrendering, you know, smaller crooks who they claim did something that they did not give an order for. I mean, it's all crime, but they turn over somebody, smaller criminals. I mean, it's outrageous.
Well, it's a PR stunt, and it's something that they are very good at. Because let me tell you, for example, the Gulf Cartel, when it comes around Christmas time, they throw Christmas parties for the poor kids in the poor colonias. And they'll do special events for kids on certain days. They throw parties, they buy presents. And even, for example, when the pandemic hit, when, you know, people were not working or locked up and everything in their houses and everything, the Gulf Cartel literally bought, food items. They call them despensas. And they went around Matamoros delivering these food items to the poor families. So they are very good at playing the PR game. So all this pressure on them right now is bad for business. So all they want right now is for the cameras to go away so everybody can go back to making money. And sadly, the people of Mexico go back to suffering under their reign of terror, actually.
Wow, incredible. Can you just real quick tell us what you think needs to happen to address this problem?
Well, there's a lot of talk right now about, getting the military involved and everything. I favor the approach that Congressman Chip Roy pushed a while back, where he had a very specific targeted approach. He called for declaring certain drug cartels, not all of them, certain, as foreign terrorist groups. Now, the way it was to be done, it was more of a white-collar approach, not so much of a military approach, because the laws, you know, around the money laundering side are different for terrorism than they are for drug money. So if we look at the circle of influence, what really makes a cartel the powerful would be their money. Their attorneys, the judges, the banks that launder the money, the dirty politicians in Mexico that protect them. And because their power doesn't really come from however many gunmen they have. So if you declare them as foreign terrorist groups, the banks can't touch their money. Uh-huh. It's harder for the businesses to move their funds. And then Mexico, the Mexican politicians cannot protect them, because then Mexico it would be subject to being declared a foreign sponsor of terrorism and facing international sanctions.
Right.
So that would be the best answer in all this.
You got it. Ildefonso, thank you very, very much for talking to us. We've been talking with our good friend Ildefonso Ortiz with Breitbart. Stay safe, and we will follow up with you at a later time to find out what else is going on, buddy.
Thank you. My pleasure.
Once again, George Rodriguez, El Conservador, talking to you from San Antonio. Once again, my friends, George Rodriguez, El Conservador, talking to you from San Antonio. And we've got our good friend, Sheriff Brad Cove from Kenney County, Texas, just west of us here. And, of course, as we've had other conversations with him, Kenney County is located on the border. I wanted to ask him about this House Bill 20 that is being considered in Austin, Texas, which will create or allow for the creation of a state border patrol. And since the sheriff has been both a border patrol agent as well as he is now a county sheriff, I wanted to get his opinions on this. Sheriff, thank you very, very much for taking time out of your day. We know that already been an exciting one for you.
Oh, yeah. Every day's exciting here. Well, I appreciate you calling, George. I really do.
Tell us, what are your thoughts about this HB 20?
Well, I've been reading H. Bill 20 because there's a bunch of them coming out. But H. Bill 20, it talks about the creation of, well, for lack of a better term, a Texas State Border Patrol type agency. I think there's some good points to the bill. I think there's some things that need to be reworded, rewritten, because it mentions, one of the things it does mention is the fact that anybody entering into the state of Texas from other than a port of entry is subject to felony trespass charges. I think that term might need to be refined a little bit, make it, because it kind of like points, well, just for illegal immigrants, but under federal statutes, the United States citizen crosses between a port entry, he's got X number of hours to get to the port entry to declare himself. So now I think that kind of needs to be worked in there also, because not just Mexicans or Hondurans or Guatemalans, et cetera, but United States citizens also, because they can also be up to just no good as anybody else, if you know what I mean.
Correct. Now, in the time that you have been both a Border Patrol agent and now a sheriff, have you seen the problems of the border ever? I mean, have they gotten worse in your opinion?
I can honestly say I've never seen it this bad where Texas law enforcement had to step in and take control of the border. I mean, we had periods where, you know, during each presidential election, like I've said before, there's always a spike in crossing because nobody knew what was going to happen, if there was going to be amnesty granted or not. But this go around, it's never stopped. There would be a peak and then it would go away, but this just continues on and on and on. So I think it's time for the state to do something. If the federal government's not going to protect us, it's up to the state agencies and the county sheriffs to protect their citizens and protect their residents.
Well, yeah, that's that seems to be the big debate between the two parties, between the Republicans and Democrats, is the Democrats are now saying that this bill is illegal because the federal government is supposed to take care of immigration and illegal immigration and the border control, et cetera, et cetera. However, what happens when they don't?
Oh, exactly. But in the wording of the bill, the way I remember it, if they're coming into the state of Texas other than a port of entry onto private property, then they're subject to a felony criminal trespass. Doesn't say anything about their immigration status. It doesn't say that they're here illegally or where they're from. It just says entering the state of Texas rather than a port of entry are subject to felony trespass.
Uh-huh. And how many complaints have you gotten? For example, how many complaints do you get from their county residents about somebody trespassing on their property and they happen to be illegal aliens?
Very few people complain about the fact that we're out there apprehending them, or trying to anyway. We do have complaints that we can't get out there quick enough, and Border Patrol can't get out there quick enough, but that's to be expected.
Yeah. I mean, do you get them on a regular basis? Is it a constant calling of complaining about illegal trespassing?
It's every time I go to lunch. but seriously, the county residents know that we're understaffed, and they know that we're having a hard time keeping up with what we've got. You know, they will say, hey, we had a group last night, came through here, we called your office, but y'all were tied up. Border Patrol couldn't come out. To a degree, they're very understanding. But at the same time, they want something done. And we're doing the best we can to get it done with what we've got to work with.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we've talked to some residents of Kenny County there who have told us, female residents at that, who have told me that in their interview that they've had to arm themselves and they are quite afraid to go out at night.
And rightfully so. I mean, you know, like we've discussed before, years back, you know, 15, 20 years ago, the ones that they encountered on their property were very humble. You know, they would try to stay away from the houses. They would only go up if they were in dire need of, say, food or water or were lost. They weren't out there demanding to be taken anywhere. They weren't demanding food. You will give me food. You will give me shelter. A lot of times they would show up and say, hey, we're lost. We're tired. We ran out of food. Can you call the Border Patrol to come get us? And they would. And while they were waiting for Border Patrol, the ranchers who would feed them, they would give them water and have a conversation with them and go on. But now they're demanding. They want their phones charged. They're breaking into houses like at an unprecedented rate. And it's just, it's not nothing like I've ever seen before.
Yeah. I mean, I remember working in the Reagan administration, working with the Border Patrol folks when they used to run away and hide. Now they come up to you. Yeah. Now they come up to the Border Patrol and introduce themselves.
Yeah, pretty much so, because a lot of them know that they're going to be taken to the office, processed, and kicked loose.
Incredible. Anything else you want to add, Sheriff? Anything else that that you could tell us about that you might be thinking about this bill?
This bill, I think it's got its merits. I think there's a few things that need to be refined. Of course, you know how bills are, they'll go to the House, they'll go back to the Senate, they'll go from the Senate back to the House and have some minor things changed. And I think it's a very workable bill. We just got to get everybody on board, make sure that the language is correct before it has a constitutional challenge.
Yep.
That's what I was saying. We have to make sure that it includes, or the wording's proper, that it refers to anybody entering between a port of entry onto private property in the state of Texas, not just illegal aliens.
Yep. And I think that there definitely will be a challenge from the progressive folks who disagree with it completely.
Well, that's one of the things. That's why it has to go back and forth. We need to make sure that the holes are all patched before we set that ship to sail.
You got it. Well, thank you, Sheriff, for taking time to be with us. Be safe out there.
When you get a chance, come see us.
I will. I certainly will. I got to come and eat some of that good food you got out there.
All right. We're ready for you.
You got it. Once again, my friends, we've been talking with our good friend, Sheriff Brad Coe from Kenney County. And this is George Rodriguez, El Conservador, talking to you from San Antonio. Howdy, howdy, howdy. Once again, my friends, George Rodriguez, El Conservador, talking to you from San Antonio, deep in the heart of South Texas. And we've got our good friend, Sheriff Thaddeus Cleveland from Terrell County, Texas, on the far southwest part of the state, up against the border. I wanted to get him on to comment about a very interesting, and it's become controversial, but a very interesting bill that has been proposed in the state house here in Texas. As everybody knows that listens to our show, the border is out of control. And the state legislature is proposing a bill that would do several things which, well, are unheard of until now, including having state militia, a state law enforcement effort to protect the border, to do things which really the Texas Rangers used to do many years ago. But the sheriff is very, very, he knows about this because not only is he a sheriff as an agent of law enforcement, but he was also a Border Patrol agent. So, Sheriff, thank you for taking time to be with us. Tell us about this bill that is being proposed. What are your thoughts?
Yes, sir. And hey, thank you again for having me. It's always a pleasure to be on your show, Mr. Rodriguez. You know, with this bill that's being proposed, you know, I'm a supporter. You know, and when we talk about border security and what's going on along our border at this time, we need more help. I need more help in my county, as do all counties up and down the border. And under this new proposal, given state and local law enforcement the ability to send people back to Mexico, I think it's a good thing. As long as it comes with the, you know, appropriate training, which it would, if we're given that authority, and we have the proper tools and training to do that, it will be good. On that note, you know, as you're familiar with, we already have a delegated authority from the U.S. government through Immigration and Customs Enforcement, the 287G that comes out of the Immigration and Nationality Act. So, again, having officers, having whether it's state or local, this giving them this authority with the right training, it'll be effective and it'll be good for our border.
Now, you as a former Border Patrol agent, obviously the argument that the left, the liberals and the Democrats are making at this point is that the state does not have the authority to interfere, as they say, interfere in immigration issues. Yet, as long as I've been covering the border crisis, I haven't seen the border, the federal government step up and do too much, especially in the last 2 years. What are your thoughts on that?
You're exactly right. You know, and I must say, again, having been a Border Patrol agent, having been a patrol agent in charge, the work our men and women do along the border, whether it's Border Patrol, off-field operation officers there at the ports of entry, they do tremendous work. They're just not getting the support they need from this current administration. And as I mentioned before, you know, every administration brings good and bad policy. And we need our laws changed. We need to do away with policy changes. We need our laws changed. But what's happening right now is there's no policy. This current administration does not give a darn with what's going on along the border. It's that plain and simple. But we need something to be done. This problem is solvable, as you've heard me say before. You know, it starts with the White House. It starts with the President of the United States of America letting the world know that they're not going to come to our country illegally. And will that stop it all? Of course not. But then that's why we need to bring back some consequences. If you're going to cross our borders illegally, you're going to be prosecuted. If you want to come here and claim asylum, then we need to put forth the MPP migrant protection protocols again. And then long term, as I've mentioned, and I'm sorry for repeating myself as I often do, but we need to have border security and we need immigration reform. And both of those are two separate things.
Yep. Now, just for information's sake, as long as you were a Border Patrol agent and now a sheriff, have you ever seen the border this out of control? And can you provide us a couple of examples of the people, or of how many people that you pick up on a weekly basis? How many encounters you have?
Yes, so first part of your question, no, it's never been out of this control, and that's well documented. If you go back and look at whether it's numbers, you can go back and look at the historical stats or just look at the amount of attention it's getting. And you look at what happened in El Paso yesterday, which was significant. But no, out here in Terrell County, if it wasn't for the governor of Texas and what he's done for border security, not just here in Terrell County, but along the border, those guys and gals from Texas Department of Public Safety, Texas Parks and Wildlife, the Texas Military Forces, the National Guard, they're working hand-in-hand with Border Patrol, working hand-in-hand with us in making successful apprehensions and seizures daily. Not just weekly, but daily. I don't know where we'd be here in Terrell County without them. I tell you, I have two deputies and myself, so that's an office of three, and about 99% of our calls are going to be border security related.
What do the residents of Terrell County tell you when it comes to their personal security and their property regarding the whole border crisis?
Well, you know, as I've mentioned before, I'm from Sanderson. I'm a hometown boy, and I came back to this community to raise my kids, and I was blessed to be able to come back as a Border Patrol agent. I've been very fortunate to be able to become the sheriff of this community. I care about this community. I care about the people. You know, I mentioned to you before, I was raised my grandmother here, but so many people were like parents to me. So I really want to give back to this community. They're pleased with the job we're doing. We get nothing but hugs and kisses, if you will, on a daily basis. People they feel protected. They know we have their back. We recently hired a new deputy up in the northern portion of the county where, you know, before Sanderson is the county seat, and Terrell County is the third or the 10th largest county in the state. We have about 2,300 square miles. The sheriff's office primarily focuses on Sanderson, but we've really expanded that to make sure our landowners know that we're out there for them, that we'll respond to anything they have in regards to border security or anything it is. So, we're fortunate with this community in the way that they show their appreciation for the work we do.
So in my final question for you, we have been talking a lot on our show for the past few months about the border crisis and the things that need to be done, et cetera, et cetera. Do you think that with this bill, at least some of the cavalry is coming? Do you think?
So I tell you, the cavalry's here already with the governor, but this will only expedite things. And what I mean by that is, so currently, whether I catch an illegal alien or a smuggling load, or if the state does we have to in turn turn them over to Border Patrol so they can establish or determine alienage of the people that we apprehend, which again they're all have been illegal aliens. And at that point, and speaking specifically for the Border Patrol station here in Sanderson, once they process them, they're taking them either 2 hours to the east down to Del Rio so they can be repatriated through Ciudad Acuña, or they're being taken 2.5 hours to the west to Presidio and repatriated to Ojinaga. So what that would do is that would really alleviate the Border Patrol having to spend so much more time on apprehensions made by us, the local authority, or by the state authorities. So overall, it would really expedite the process, and it would be much more efficient. And I'm sure that the state would start staging buses in this area so we could load people up in buses and take them to the appropriate port of entry.
You got it. Sheriff, thank you very much for taking some time to shed some light on this bill, and hopefully it will provide some assistance and to a very, very a terrible crisis that we've got going on at the border. Anything you'd like to add before we let you go?
Again, I just want to thank you. I thank you for what you do, for covering this topic as you do, to getting the word out and to supporting us here at the local community level. Thank you.
You got it. Once again, my friends, George Rodriguez, El Conservador, talking to you from San Antonio, and we've been chatting with our good friend, Sheriff Cleveland from Terrell County, Texas. Thank you, Sheriff.
Thank you.
Howdy, howdy. Once again, my friends, George Rodriguez, El Conservador. And we've got our good friend, Mr. Mark Morgan, senior fellow at FAIR, as well as the former commissioner for Immigration and Customs Enforcement. And he's just written an article that we want to hear about, the congressional visit that just occurred here in South Texas.
I actually co-wrote that with another great patriot, Tom Holman, through our affiliation as fellows with the Heritage Foundation as well. And as you mentioned, it was the hearing that was conducted by the House Homeland Committee, chaired by Representative Green. They went to the border, as they should, and that's where they had the hearing. That's where the epicenter is. Obviously, that's where you're at as well, in a border state. And, of course, not a single Democrat showed up. That's another issue as well.
We reported last week because they had announced that they were not coming because they said it was a political ploy. It was a political stunt. There was a grandmother and her granddaughter who were killed on Tuesday in a car chase, or Monday rather, in a car chase with a human smuggler, and I assure you that's not a political stunt. I don't understand what these people are thinking.
Yeah, George, I think that's exactly right. What they mean by political stunt is what the Democratic Party right now are doing is they're following a popularism approach, meaning that they're only going to focus on what they believe is popular for their ideology, for their movement, for their Democratic Party. If it's not popular, they're going to ignore it and pretend it doesn't exist. That's why they didn't attend. Tell me what the stunt is about having a hearing right on the location of where the crisis is beginning for this country. I don't understand what the political stunt is. The truth is they will have no answer. They would have no answer to the testimony. How were they going to counter what the director, Steve McGraw of Texas DPS, was going to say? Our Sheriff Coe, who is a sheriff of a county on the border, or a representative from the National Border Patrol Council, who represents the thousands and thousands of men and women actually on the front lines of our nation. And then, of course, the chief of the United States Border Patrol. They were going to have no answer to that. They would have no counter to what was being said. That's why they didn't show up.
Tell us about your article, the five takeaways from of what the chief, the Border Patrol Chief Ortiz. Now, he's taken some heat because in the past he has stood by the administration.
Yep.
But what did he say, or what happened in this testimony?
George, so I really brought that up. And look, I've taken some flack for this, but, I'm going to continue to call balls and strikes. I think the chief has had multiple opportunities in the past 2 years to really stand up for what is right, to address not only his personnel but the American people, and not be forced to do it under oath. But when he's not under oath, I believe, and many are shoulder to shoulder with me, is that he has not seized upon opportunities to do just that. The horse patrol incident, right, where his very men that he dispatched to go to the border in Del Rio that week that were lied about, that said they whipped anybody. He knew it wasn't a lie, but all he did was try to correct the lie internally when he had an opportunity, as they continued to lie externally. he still sat back and did nothing. So I do think that there is justifiable criticism to his lack of outreach and his lack of communication and transparency to the American people and his own personnel. But here we have him now under oath. So he's testifying in front of a congressional hearing under oath. He had to tell the truth. And yeah, to his credit, he did. Now, I still think he avoided some direct questions. But look, and there is one question before I get to the op-ed. You know, as he was leaving, one of the reporters asked him, should Secretary Mayorkas be impeached? I got to tell you, as a career official, he should have been completely silent on that. That's way outside his purview. But that he commented on, and he said no. After he gives this damning testimony that shows the secretary – has abused his authority, lied to the American people, lied to Congress. He's going to go out on a limb, not for the American people, not for his own men and women. He doesn't go out on a limb, George, for his own men and women when it comes to the horse patrol, but he'll go out on a limb for Secretary Mayorkas and say out loud that he should be impeached. It's so anyway, before we give him too much credit, I wanted to say that. But look, there are five key areas. And one is he was asked directly, do you have operational control of the Southwest border? He very plainly said and correctly said, no, we do not, sir. That's in direct contradiction to the secretary, who under oath was asked the very same question and said, yes, we have operational control. So, again, that's just one of a long list of why Secretary Mayorkas should be impeached. You know, he was asked about the gotaways, and he said that there was 1.4 million gotaways in the first 25 months. That doesn't even come close to any levels in our entire lifetime. And he said something also important, that that's an underreporting, that he thinks that the number is easily 20% higher than the 1.4 million known gotaways being reported. He also says something that's very important that counters the one of the Democrats' talking points, is that, well, fentanyl, you know, we seize most of the drugs at the port of entry. And so somehow then what's happening in between the port of entry isn't an issue. He countered that. He said, no, we are seizing fentanyl and other narcotics, dangerous narcotics, in between the port of entry. So it just blasts a hole in the Democratic talking point. And then he rounds off a couple of them. He talks about how the border wall, it was a mistake to stop the border wall. Again, first time he's seen an executive has actually said that out loud under oath. And then lastly, he talks about that he said the quiet part out loud, that they have fundamentally changed the core mission of the Border Patrol from an enforcement agency to protect our nation's sovereignty and safety and security to one now, which he called a processing enterprise. And that's where we're at. And those are the five big takeaways. You know, I would add another one, George, real quick. I know I'm going long here, but is that when he's also asked about operational control, and this is another reason why Secretary Mayorkas has got to go. Secretary Mayorkas is coming as secretary and he's like, you know what, operational control, not only going to lie to the American people and lie under oath to Congress to say we have operational control, I'm going to even go a step further. I don't like operational control. I don't like that definition the secretary has decided, even though it's law. The 2000 Secure Fence Act says the secretary shall maintain operational control, and it defines what operational control is. He doesn't like it because he doesn't have it, but he's gone past this line. He's now made up a new term. He now is going to define success as mission advantage. I don't know what the heck that is.
What does that mean? Yeah, when I heard that, I could – what the heck does that mean?
Yeah, I have no idea. So he not only is he lying to the American people, Congress, that we have operational control, but now he's just dismissed it. He's just told himself and his workforce, you can dismiss a congressional statutory law in place. Don't worry about it. I'm going to create a complete new definition. I'm going to create a new law. I'm going to call it mission advantage. I don't even know what the hell that is, but now that's going to be your guidance. I mean, we've never had this before where a secretary comes in and lies and just dismisses the law. Again, another reason why he's got to be impeached.
Yeah, I mean, he's played the Democrats, the liberals are very, very adept to playing word yep. games. And here goes one more word game. You know, changing the definition.
I think that's right. But look, this is so important, though, and it hasn't been talked about enough since the hearing. I mean, for the first time we heard, not only have they changed the core fundamental mission of the Border Patrol from an enforcement to now a processing enterprise, that was said out loud, but now this secretary has actually thwarted the law. He's actually said out loud, I am not going to enforce the law because I don't agree with or I don't like the current law. I'm going to dismiss that, and I'm going to develop my own law and my own definition called mission advantage, when really your mandate by law is operational control and it's clearly defined. I mean, George, this is outrageous.
It truly is. And, you know, impeachment, at least, impeachment is necessary because obviously when he held up his arm to swear that he was going to uphold the Constitution and the laws. Well, he's not.
That's exactly right. And what some naysayers are saying, well, you know, impeachment's not supposed to be used for a policy difference for politics. We're not. This is not about policy differences. This is not. No, don't get me wrong. I completely agree with all the policies. But that's not what impeachment. That's not what our call for impeachment is about. Our call for impeachment is exactly what you said. He has abused his authorities and he's violated the law. This is the first time in our lifetime, George, where we had a secretary of a large department come in and just thwart the law and just make a decision of which laws he's going to enforce and which ones he's not. And on top of that, then direct his men and women that are charged with enforcing the laws to actually violate them. I mean, it's not just that he's lied to Congress under oath, which by itself is an impeachable offense, but he also, again, has thwarted the 2006 definition of operational control and developed his own definition we just described. But this is also the same secretary that has told ICE agents don't enforce the law. If an illegal alien is here illegally, that's not enough to remove them. If they have a court order removal by an immigration judge, that's not enough to remove them. He refuses to detain illegal immigrants, even though the law, the INA, clearly defines he should be detaining a certain demographics of illegal aliens. He's not, George. I could go on and on. This is not about a policy or political difference. This is about the fact that this a secretary is absolutely violating the law. He's abused his authorities, and he's eroded the public's trust in the system of government. Those are all impeachable grounds.
Now, I've been looking at the response from the media to this meeting, particularly to the comments by the Border Patrol chief, by Ortiz. And again, it seems, well, I have seen a little bit on CNN, but I haven't seen very much on the rest of them. Do you think this is going to have any kind of impact?
No, not in the mainstream media. I just did a speech the other day, or interaction, I would say, with some folks, and that's one of the questions they ask, and they ask about the media, and that's a challenge right now. Because look, I do place some blame. That's probably a harsh word on American people. That hey, look, it's all a responsibility to be educated and aware and informed about what's going on in the country when you make your decision to vote. You shouldn't just stay in your corner and based on your ideology do your vote. You really should get informed. But on the other hand, I also understand that they're busy. They're trying to pay a mortgage and put food on the table, and I got that. But also, the challenge is where I don't blame the American people, is that they're being lied to, right? I mean, they're being lied to by their president of the United States, their vice president, their press secretary, and the secretary of DHS. Look, all of those individuals the past 2 years have won, just, again, used the populism approach. They just ignored the border because it's bad for them. But they've also lied to the American people. They all at some point have said we have operational control of the border secure. We know it's all a lie. But look, when you're an American out there and you're in Montana or you're in Missouri or Vermont and your president and your secretary saying there's nothing to see here, it's all secure, you know, I give them some deference that like, hey, I don't get this. Who am I supposed to believe? And then on top of that, the overwhelming majority of mainstream media is also using the populism approach. They're not going to talk about something that's not popular to their ideology or their agenda. And this is a perfect example. Every single news outlet, every single cable news program should have a Chief Ortiz's statements front and center. It should have been the leading thing. The chief says we do not have operational control of our borders. That should have been leading every article, every headline, but it wasn't.
Yep. My friend, thank you so much for taking time to be with us. We really needed to hear about this very, well, and I consider it a historical meeting down at the border it has such importance to us. Thank you very, very much.
You bet, George, anytime.
Once again, my friends, we've been speaking with our good friend, Mr. Mark Morgan, senior fellow at FAIR and the former director of Immigration Customs Enforcement. Thank you very, very much. Once again, my friends, thank you very, very much for joining us on our show today. I want to thank Ildefonso Ortiz from Breitbart for being our guest. I want to thank Sheriff Brad Coe from Kenney County for taking time to be with us from his super busy schedule. And the same for Sheriff Thad Cleveland, over in Terrell County, who also is running around trying to protect our borders, my friends, trying to protect us from folks that are not only entering the country illegally, but heaven knows what else.
We know the fentanyl. We know the problems with child molesters, with criminals returning after they've been deported. My friends, our border is a problem. And our final guest, I really, really want to thank Mark Morgan, a dear friend from FAIR and former ICE director. Mark is really, really at the front lines, lobbying, informing, educating people about this terrible situation we've got with an administration that just doesn't seem to care. An administration filled with people who are actually lying to us, my friends. This is what's very disturbing to me, who are actually lying to us. This past week here in Texas, we had a grandmother and a daughter killed in Ozona, Texas, by a smuggler that was running from the law. And these smugglers, my friends, are running constantly. There are constant car chases throughout South Texas as these smugglers try to outrun the law. And just like there was this tragedy, there are going to be many more tragedies. There's also the issue of Border Patrol agents being attacked by illegal aliens who have become emboldened, who feel that they are somehow entitled to come into our country illegally. My friends, we are in an invasion mode. We are in a siege mode. We've got people, we've got Democrats, we've got liberals, leftists, who want to defund the police, while at the same time, they don't want to do anything about shutting the border. We're being attacked from two sides, internally and externally, my friends. An attack, invasion, those are correct words. I hope that you will continue joining us. I hope that you will continue supporting us. Please go to our website. Please go to El Conservador, George Rodriguez. You can find me all over social media. Please support us. We welcome any donations. We are also always looking for folks to advertise on our program. Please feel free to contact us, and we'll see what we can do. But we need your support. We need, my friends, to tell the truth, to interpret what the mainstream media is saying. So, thank you again for joining us today. Until next time, stay strong, be safe. George Rodriguez, El Conservador.
Three-star General Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.